Today on Real Life Radio.
Listen, if you do something, do it to the absolute best, glorify God, hit a home run, go the extra mile, be faster than anybody else, or whatever, or I don't care what it is, just do it great. Amen. And win. Amen. What do you lose? You know what? Then lose greater. We need to teach our kids not only how to win, we need to teach them how to handle loss.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Relevant Christian, part 2 begins in the book of Philippians chapter 1 with verses 12 through 14. Paul wrote his epistle to the church at Philippi during his imprisonment in Rome. Now, the theme in the book of Philippians is to have joy in any situation in life. This gives the Christian a whole new way to live out their Christianity. During the time of Paul, the educated Athenians were a people subject to the powers and the whims of their gods. But the thrilling reality of the Christian is our transformation by the one true God. In Him, we live and move and have our being. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that Paul saw the things that were happening to him as having great potential, knowing that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Hope will not disappoint. We can look past our sorrows to the other side. That is eternity with Christ. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
That's what Paul was a master of. He had learned, wait a minute, and I'll illustrate this to you in a moment. It's so simple, it's kind of embarrassing how much you and I need to grow as a Christian. But there's only one way to grow. It's not more Bible study. It's having to live out what we know in the fire. There's no other way. How could pain and hardship advance the gospel? Oh, it does. Because frankly, pain and hardship is exactly where mankind lives. Now, if you're new to the Bible or you've never read the Bible, you can understand this, that the Bible says that God never invented evil, hardship, pain, death, and sorrow. Guess who brought that into the game? None other than mankind himself. When man, original mom and dad, Adam and Eve, chose to listen to someone else other than God. And your life may be in a pit of peril because you're listening to somebody else and not God. You say, well, I love God and I'm following God, but my life is in a pit of peril. Then it's not a pit and it's not peril. It just feels like it, smells like it, looks like it, but it's not as it seems. You didn't save yourself and you're not going to keep yourself saved and you're not going to pull yourself up by the bootstraps and make your way into heaven. That's His job. And He will never abandon the work that He's begun, ever. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 3, listen to this prayer of the Apostle Paul. I often laugh. This came to me, by the way, years, my goodness, I think it was 1991, Easter evening, 1991, I think it was. Why do I remember it? Because it was that evening that I was later to find out that what hit me that day was none other than Crohn's disease. I was having a great day, no warning, and then all of a sudden, I had a problem. And this verse became the verse that got me through a good year of tests and stuff. And many years of dealing with that. Philippians 3:10, listen. That I may know Him. That's Paul's prayer for himself. Is that your prayer? You know, we're going through a series on Thursday nights, Behold Your God. It's all about pressing into the character of God, knowing Him for who He is, period, nothing else. Who is He? What are His attributes, His characteristics? Paul says, that I may know Him. Is that the heartbeat of your heart, Christian? Like David, one thing that I've desired and that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold His beauty, the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. That's the Christian heart. Well, I love the front end of that verse. That I may know Him, it gets better, right? And the power of His resurrection. Somebody say amen, right? That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Doesn't that sound amazing? Love it. And the fellowship of his sufferings. What? See, you and I feel too much. We think, oh my goodness, sufferings? Didn't sign up for that. And this is where a lot of people who profess in Jesus stumble and walk with him no more. We want the power, but we don't want the association of sufferings that come with following Jesus. It can come in a million different ways. But it says that this is actually the result of being, conformed to his death. What does that mean? It's a beautiful word. It means that death didn't hold him. The death that Jesus died is a death that the grave cannot hold. And so he lives forevermore. And that's what we're saying. That's what he's saying. So we want the power. We want to be like Jesus, but without the suffering. And I'm saying to you today that without the suffering, we will never be like Jesus. Here's the beautiful thing. He will walk you and I through it all. And the Bible says he'll never put you through something that you cannot bear. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, yeah, Pastor, the thing I'm going through, I can't bear it. I know the feeling. When we go through stuff, we feel like we can't bear it. That's the point. It brings us to the end of ourselves to completely rely upon him. That's how the image of Christ is embossed upon your life. Not when it's smooth and simple. No one is growing when it's smooth and simple. Paul saw these things as providing great potential. What a hardship. Paul looked beyond the hardship. He saw them as momentary. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 3, for we also glory in tribulations. Do we? Wow. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Think of that. What hardship are you going through? We've taught our kids to avoid hardship. We were supposed to tell our kids, roll up your sleeve and work 8-10 hours a day. Work overtime if you have to. Listen, after you do it, go back and see if you can do it better again. Stay at it. Don't quit. Well, they're mean to me. You know what? Do what Jesus said. Love them back. Drive them crazy with the love of God. Next time they spit on you, smile. Buy them lunch. Do it. No, we've taught people to give up. If the going gets tough, get going. Paul says, no, man, you know what? I'm a Christian. That means God knows exactly the atmosphere in the theater of where I'm at. Paul would say, bring it on. This is an opportunity to grow. But don't you see, Paul? I see. Right over this momentary difficulty is an amazing opportunity to grow. Yeah, I see. I see that things are not what they seem. You think about this. God uses these things. Paul had chains, right? He had chains. I should have brought some chains up here to rattle them. He's chained to Roman soldiers, and he's writing, he's speaking. We know from the book of Acts, people are allowed to visit him. He's talking to these people. So you think about that for a moment. So how could God do this? How could God use it? You know what? Moses, this is not normal. Let's be honest. If you're writing this story in Hollywood, it's kind of stupid. Moses, take this stick from an almond tree that your brother Moses really, or Aaron really likes to play with, and hold it up in front of Pharaoh's magicians and see what happens. Ladies and gentlemen, if God can use Moses' rod to do miraculous things, it's not in the rod. If Gideon, remember Gideon had his clay pots and the enemy was coming and he's out there in the nighttime and he takes a torch and he lights it inside the pot because God said, light the torch inside the pot, keep the torch in the pot. And when the enemies start coming, at the right moment, blow the trumpet and smash the pot. And then they'll see the torches and they'll freak. You guys, the strength, the victory is not in the pot. God uses the pottery. God uses the stick. David and his sling. Do you think the stone and the sling killed the giant? There's no way. Listen, last Saturday, I was with a guy, took a picture of him. I should have showed it to you guys. He was 7 feet, 1 inch tall. I look like a little infant. It's ridiculous. And if Goliath was 9 feet, 6 inches tall, do you think a little boy with a sling and a stone can take down a giant? It wasn't the sling and the stone. God uses silly things. And God uses chains. And he uses the notice that you've been fired or you're going to be laid off. Or he uses the cancer. Or he uses the relationship thing. Or he uses the summons. Or he uses, I don't care what it is. Listen, don't raise your hand. Don't make a peep. Are you a Christian? If you say yes, then whatever's happening in your life, God wants to use it. Amen. I want to talk about the things that have happened to me. Don't stop there. Keep reading. Because as you stop there, you'll always be a victim. No, you keep reading. You keep pressing on because God's got a great plan with that. Paul was rejoicing in the results that he would see after he suffered. We need to remember that, everybody. I know this is going to sound crazy. Taken out of context, freak out. I'll get letters over this. But I'm going to tell you the truth right now. Listen, it's really easy to win, and I think we should win. Whatever we do, we should win. Call me, look, write me a letter and chew me out. I think, listen, if you do something, do it to the absolute best, glorify God, hit a home run, go the extra mile, be faster than anybody else, or whatever, or I don't care what it is, just do it great. Amen. And win. What do you lose? You know what? Then lose greater. We need to teach our kids not only how to win, we need to teach them how to handle loss. Say, this is the deal. You know what, buddy? Anybody can win. And I want you to win next time, dude. You got it. You can do it. You can do it. Here's the thing. You lost today, but here's the deal, buddy. This is how you handle loss. And you teach your kid how to handle loss, that there is a great lesson to learn on the other side. The greatest victories in humanity. You read about their lives and their biographies of how it came about. Didn't Jesus look like a loser on a cross while hell laughed and Rome turned its back and walked away and the disciples stood there crying disillusioned? There must have been a dance party going on in hell with a demonic disco ball. They had crushed the Lord of glory. They got him in the tomb. Until Sunday morning. Until Sunday morning. There's victory on the other side of this news that you're having to deal with. It's not over by no means. Paul saw everything in light of his calling, you guys. Now, please, I don't know how I'm going to say this. I hope it's taken right. When I read my Bible, I understand from my Bible, every true, real, born-again Christian has a calling upon their life. If you disagree, I'd encourage you to try to find me a verse to annul that. I believe every believer, God has got an amazing purpose for living and a mission for your life. And I also believe that it's incumbent upon every believer to find out what it is. And can I say this with affection? Shame on you as a Christian. If you have not fasted, cried out, and lamented before the throne of God to find out why he made you and what's your purpose, you need to find out why he gave you life. The Apostle Paul did that very thing. You see, well, that's Paul. I refuse to think like that. In Acts chapter 9, verse 15, Acts chapter 9 is when, remember, he got saved. His name was Saul, Saul of Tarsus, gets knocked off his donkey on the way to Damascus by Jesus. Jesus appears in the heavens, freaks him out, speaks to Saul, and he gets saved, puts his faith in Christ. He's been blinded by the experience. He can't see. He's hiding out. And in verse 15, chapter 9, it says, and the Lord said or spoke to Ananias, and he says, go, for he, that is Saul, Paul, is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles. That's the world, the non-Jewish world, outside of Israel's borders. Kings, that's not only kings of Providence, but the emperor or emperors of Rome, and the children of Israel, other Jews. Verse 16, for I will show him how many things he must, what? Suffer for my namesake. Christian, are you willing today to say, Lord, I'm terrified. Here I am, Jesus. Don't quite know what I'm asking for, but I want to be obedient. I'm asking you to cause me to know what my calling is in life, that I might be, and God, please make me willing, as I pray this with little faith, to be willing to suffer for your namesake. Right? Is that in your heart? Yes, it is. It's in the believer's heart. We pray it with a cringe, but we have to pray it. God, use me to the fullest, whatever that means. We're conflicted because the flesh says, I want a massage. I want essential oils. I want, and then the spirit says, I want to live for Christ or die as gain. We're torn like that. It's who we are. It's not just Paul, it's us. So how do you listen? How do you associate that and how do you assimilate that into your life? But the danger is for you to say, well, you know, that is Paul. I didn't write parts of the Bible. It's no excuse. In fact, I did a little homework. Remember, with Paul's salvation came the announcement, I'm going to use him to speak to nations and kings and the Jewish people. You guys all got that? That was his calling. So number one, you might want to write it down if you need to. What's my calling? That's your question for yourself. What's my calling, God? Make that your prayer request. Have you guys seen the War Room movie yet? Yes. If you haven't seen it, go see it now. Go see it right after second service is over. Go see it. Go see it. I can't believe I'm endorsing a Christian movie. I think Christians make terrible movies. They just do. The acting's horrible and all this stuff. Not this one. This is amazing. I'm telling you, it's amazing. And what happens? You know what? Boom. Prayer request, prayer issue, difficulty in life. Boom. Right on the wall. Lord Jesus. So you say, Lord Jesus, show me my calling. Why is that important? I hope you're listening right now. If you listen, this has set you free. It might hurt a little bit before it sets you free, but watch this. Because that was Paul's calling and he knew it, God's going to use me. I'm going to speak to other nations. I'm going to speak to the emperor of Rome, and I'm going to speak to the Jewish people. You got that, people? That's his calling, not yours, not mine. That's his. I have mine. You have yours. You know why we are so prone to quitting? And so prone to giving up in the face of opposition, pain, sorrow, and setbacks and hardships? Because you don't know your calling. If you knew it, you would fight to do it. If you knew it, you'd be fearless. Watch what happens. I looked this up. Hey, Paul, I'm paraphrasing from the Bible. Hey, Paul, the ship's going down. We're sinking. What was Paul's response? No, we're not. Can't happen. I haven't been to Rome yet. They're probably like, what's he talking about? Next thing. Hey, Paul, those religious leaders over there are plotting to kill you. That's okay. I've not planted churches throughout Asia yet. Another one. Hey, Paul, there's a group of zealots over there that are trying to hunt you down and behead you. That's okay. I haven't been to Europe yet. I haven't preached the gospel to those other nations of Gentiles. Do you see what I'm saying? Oh, there's some people. There's threats. Oh, there's this. Oh, there's that. Listen. Listen. In your life, if you don't know what God has in store for you, you're terrified. You're terrified with every bit of bad news. Anything that's happened in the world spooks you out. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to read. You don't know how to act. You don't know where you should get involved. You're a Christian. You're going to heaven, but you're like Lazarus. You're wrapped in grave cloth still. You're totally alive, but you just hop everywhere because you need to be unwrapped. And it's God's plan. It's God's vision to speak to you. He wants to tell you what your reason for living is. And when you have it, as Paul had it, you don't fear for your life because you cannot die until your work is done. And listen, I'll say this by faith. From what I've read in the Bible, it appears you don't want to live one moment longer after your work is done. Go ask Hezekiah. He really messed that one up. right? Do you know your God like this? It's almost as though Paul waves his hand in dismissal of these dangers. Listen to this. In Acts chapter 20, verse 22, Acts 20:22, the Bible says, "And see now," Paul says, "I go bound, chained in the Spirit." So his heart is burdened with this news, "to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. So I canceled my tickets and stayed home." No, that's what, right? He said, "Well, I think we should cancel." No, Paul says, look, verse 24, "None of these things move me." Are you kidding? "None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself." Why, Paul, are you crazy? Do you have a death wish? No, by no means. He says, "So that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus." Did you get that, everybody? God told him, this is what you're going to do. He hadn't fulfilled it all yet. Paul said, because Agabus had come and said, "Whoever owns this belt is going to be bound in Jerusalem and arrested, and it's not going to go well." And everybody's crying. The Bible says they fell on Paul crying. "Don't go, Paul, don't go." And he's like, "Get off of me. Come on, you guys. I know what my calling is. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what's going to happen. That's God's business." Do you see his resilience and his vision? Because he knew his calling. I want you to be like that. I want you to just be, you know, just get off of me, will you? I know what I'm supposed to do. I had a wonderful encounter at Costco. Somebody who works at Costco, I was walking by, and she says, Pastor Jack, you know the booth, you know where they have samples? She comes out from behind her display, and she goes, "I just feel like the Lord's been telling me things. I'm just not sure, but what do you think?" And I think the Lord's been pressing upon my heart to homeschool my daughter, and I stepped out and I did it, and it's just been going great, but I just have some. And I said, "That's amazing. That's awesome. That's fantastic." And it was so, so sweet, because I saw her on Wednesday at church here, and she came walking up and she just said, "Thanks." And it was like, yeah! I mean, she was in mama bear mode. It was amazing. Why? Listen, she was confident because she knows what she's supposed to do.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio in a message called The Relevant Christian. Thanks for listening today. There is life on the other side of suffering, so don't give up. For God does indeed have in store a greater purpose for your life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, do you have a close friend who's different from you in almost every way? A friendship that on the outside seems unlikely, but on the inside, it makes perfect sense. Well, there once was a printer and a preacher who came from separate countries and followed different philosophies, but not only became fast friends, but they were two of the most famous men in America. The printer was hardworking, inventive, often quite funny and yet practical with humble manners. And the preacher, on the other hand, he was boisterous, often gathering outdoor crowds by the thousands, proclaiming that you must be born again to get into the kingdom of heaven. Who were these two men who together established both the spiritual and the social foundations for young America? Pastor Jack's book of the month for October is The Printer and the Preacher by Randy Peterson. It's the story of the powerful and amazing friendship of Benjamin Franklin and George Whitefield. The Printer and the Preacher is not only inspiring, but it's a book that you'll want to get an extra copy of to share with your close friend. And who knows, maybe together you can help make the world a better place as you share the love of Jesus Christ to those around you. The Printer and the Preacher by Randy Peterson is available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, that's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.